Welcome to the Original Recipe Group, Big Book Step Study. Broadcasting from Newcastle, PA, every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Easter on Zoom.
Hey everyone, my name's Alicia. I am an alcoholic and I am very grateful to be here tonight. Thank you for your service. And TK, thanks for asking me. I always love when I see you come back out this way on Zoom to share your experience. And I'm sure that the group down here adores you as well. So I have been through this work. I continue to do this work. And I can share according to group conscience. So thank you. I love this work. You know, I really love this work. So my experience with it, I've done the steps in a lot of different ways. This time around, when I came back, I had been sober many years ago, and I was out for about 18 years, actually. And I had done some step work the first time around, but I didn't really understand that what I was dealing with. I didn't understand this. This was not just about drinking. It was a disease of the mind, and I had no understanding of that. When I had done a fourth step and a fifth step, I truly thought it was like a confessional. You know, I'm going to tell somebody some secrets about things that I never thought I would talk about. And I did get some relief from that at the time, but I just didn't get it. So when I came back this time around, I was so tired of being on the fence about whether I was an alcoholic or not and trying to control it. And I had three young kids and like my life was a mess, finances, my marriage, the whole thing. It was awful. And I was so tired. And I came back and I started to do some step work. And I remember at one point there was like a 12 and 12 going on and they were doing a meeting. It was kind of like a I can't even remember how it happened. A bunch of women getting together like over lunch and they're talking about 6 and 7. I remember the sponsor at the time too had a lot of sobriety. Hadn't gone through the big book step study process. But I remember she's like, oh, why don't you come and to see the step? And I'm like, yeah, I can talk on that. I mean, I did a fourth step, so I know what they're talking about. You know, I mean, you know, this is what I mean about really understanding what this work is telling me, understanding what AA is about, as opposed to making, you know, just thinking I know everything. Just because I read it in the book does not mean that I know what it's talking about, because I'm not applying it to my life. I don't really understand it. So anyways, I remember going there as if like I had just read the book and done some work. I think we did worksheets at the time for the fourth step where you check off, you know, your resentment, check, you know, were you self-seeking, check, you know. It was like, it was just very superficial. I had no idea. That said, about 5 years into recovery at that point, I had hit an emotional bottom. And actually my therapist at the time had mentioned something about Big Book Step Study. I had never heard of it. And she's like, you should check it out. And I was like, yeah, you know, okay. And then all my ears were open. Well, lo and behold, isn't it interesting how God works? You know, I was at a noontime meeting and there was this woman there who, she had a message, and people say this all the time. And I want to say, you know, tongue in cheek, I don't want to just give lip service to her, but she had this message. Like she knew what she was talking about. Like there was no, you know, BS about it. She was like, this disease is going to kill you. You've got to basically, this is not verbatim, you got to do the steps. That's what AA is, doing the steps. We're not here to co-sign one another's BS. We're not here to, you know, just put down the drink. We've got to change. And I heard that, and I was desperate enough because I had seen a lot of my behaviors. I felt like nothing really changed. There's that old saying, if nothing changes, nothing changes, you know. I was sober, but it wasn't enough. So I got involved with her and went through the process. I read the first 63 and a half pages with her and took the third step and embarked on this journey. As I was doing my writing for the first time in my life, I really understood. I started to understand what denial was, that my body was addicted to alcohol. I had never really understood that. Like there was a physical addiction, you know, element to it. I didn't get that part of it prior to doing this work. Also, the understanding of going through it and looking at my behavior and how I perpetuate my disease. Once I put the drink down, my behavior is still going to be the same unless I am aware of the things that are blocking me from being who I'm truly meant to be and how I'm blocked from being useful to God and to others. I had no idea that was even part of it. I don't know where, but they probably talked about it. I just never heard it. It wasn't until I went through this process. So in going through four and really starting to understand my fears, which I understand today for myself, and I only speak about my own experience. Other people might have other, you know, experiences. But my fears were the thing that actually controlled my behavior, controlled the way that I thought, controlled the way that I acted. And I had no idea. It was kind of my fears that had this manifestation in my self-seeking behaviors, right? That was that outward manifestation of what was going on underneath. And when I started to understand that, and when I started like writing these turnarounds and the repetition of it over and over and over again, silly little resentments that I'd crop up and I'd have the same reactions and it would be the same fears. And I think that thing that was really starting to break, that helped me break through that denial. When I got to that the end of the fourth, my second inventory, my sponsor actually had me write not just a sex ideal, but a life ideal. And she said to me, it's really important because now that we've uncovered the truth about ourselves or started to uncover the start of the recognition of it, what do you want to do with that? This ideal is about making a creating a footprint of the person that I want to be, the person that I want to become, the person that I was meant to be, but I could never because I was stuck within my disease. And I say that because I know some people just write the sex inventory, but for me, this was really important as I find out later and going through this work and getting to six and seven was because after going through hours of talking about my fifth step, you know, going over my fourth step with her during my fifth step, I was so tired of myself, you know, sick and tired of hearing all this stuff. When I was told to go spend a quiet hour with God, you know, and review the first five proposals and then do my sixth and seventh. That was like, yeah, God, take it, you know, just take it all. I don't care. I just don't want to be that person. And I thought it was like a one and done kind of, I truly thought it was like, all right, I'm just supposed to read this. Got it. But I didn't really understand what I was dealing with. My character defects, this behavior. I could see it to some degree when I was doing my writing, but I think it was such a blur and I was in kind of like this numb state when I got through my fifth step, so tired of hearing about myself that I was confused, you know, it takes me a while to actually have things absorb. So, but I was ready to change, totally ready for change. However, you know, I thought, okay, I got it. I got the solution. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to approach life, you know, all this stuff. I understand it. So I shouldn't have these feelings. These little things shouldn't pop up anymore. Jealousy, fear, you know, doubt, insecurity, any of this self-seeking behaviors. I got it. And lo and behold, right? Like I happen. So, and I remember like I don't remember the exact one, but I remember it was something that got me wrapped around the axle. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I must have done something wrong. I think I have to go back and redo it. You know, like there must be a missing link here because I why am I feeling this way? And as I've come to find out since I've gone through that process, which was over 12 years ago, I had to understand that, you know, when I'm coming off the fourth and the fifth, and my behaviors were so out of, you know, they talk in page 52 about the bedevilments, right? I mean, I was still living in those bedevilments when I first got back into this program. I was still having issues with relationships and jobs and personal relationships and jobs and my emotional, you know, sobriety. I was all over the place, right? I didn't have a solution. And so coming off the cuff of that and seeing the solution, I'm like, oh my God, this is great. But I never had the opportunity to practice it sober and applying these steps. So now the work really begins because, A, I have to be aware of these things. It's the beginning of it. It's that jumping off point for me. It's like, okay, this is what it is. But now I'm going to face these situations in life where I have always had knee-jerk reactions to. Somebody in my family could say something to me. I'm the youngest out of six. I got a lot of older, and we have a pretty big age difference between us and, you know, issues with control and being hated, being told what to do. And they could say something and I'd go into a tizzy. You're telling me what to do, right? Like, you're totally defensive and, you know, irrational. And but what this program is teaching me is that, yes, I might have some of those reactions when I first finish this immediately. But it tells me to pause, pray, and then proceed, right? It always talks about, you know, prayer. And that's why I was told to read pages 84 through 88 when I was doing my writing, so I could start getting in that habit. And the reason for that is that I need that pause to be able to sit and say, okay, well, wait a second. What is the truth? What is the truth here? What is really, what's gotten me going? What are my fears? And where am I not trusting and relying upon God, which has always been a big thing for me, right? I mean, it's for me, it's the crux of the program. But that said, as time has gone on and I've learned to be able to look at knowing my defects, character, and trust me, I've got many of them. Some of them were so glaring initially. It's like a little kid learning how to walk, you know. But as I started getting in the rhythm of it, a lot of these things started to subside, right? And I felt better. And the truth is because I started feeling better about myself. Right. I started to understand that actually God wasn't punishing me, which is what I had thought previously before doing my fourth and fifth step. It was really, it was me. And I was causing a lot of that. And I had a solution because I can do it differently. And the truth is, and it talks about in the sixth step, how willing am I to do it? I wouldn't have been that willing unless I had gone through the process this particular way. Because like I said before, I had done a lot of many fourth and fifth steps in various ways, but I just didn't make the connection. So when it gets to the part in the seventh step, when it talks about the prayer, and I remember the first time this really hit me, and it says, God, let me see if I can, my creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me. And I remember when after doing, you know, my fourth and my fifth and going, I was at a meeting, we were talking, a big book step study meeting. And by the way, I continue, if you're in the process of writing or, you know, just completing your fourth and fifth, it's not enough. I mean, it's like a lot of my learning happened after doing that part of the work by continuing to go to these meetings because I hear different perspectives. Anyways, I was at a meeting and I remember that really stuck out to me. Am I really willing to let God have all of me, like complete surrender, right? And I think about it. Because what that means is for me is letting go of what I think I know and trusting in something that I can't see, that I know through experience has taught me is a very real in my life. And I believe that. But it's still a blind faith, you know, in being human, that is not necessarily my go-to, you know, it's counterintuitive in many ways. So I am actually offering myself up to this way of life with something that I can't see per se, but I hear people talk about it. I know through the experience that I've gone through it to be true, but sometimes that fear still crops up and I can get insecure about it and knowing that and not sure what to do. And I just lost my train of thought, but another thought came up was the fact that for me, faith is about not necessarily having a life without fear. I've learned that I'm human. And I think that's the big part of it. It talks a lot, you know, it talks in this step a little bit about the understanding of this step is that this is a lifelong process. You know, I think one of the popes at one point said conversion is a lifelong process. It is not spiritual perfection. It's spiritual progress. And the fact is that I may be ungraceful with this stuff initially, but the more I get, the more I practice it, the better I get at it. And they say wisdom comes from experience. It's in fact comes from doing this stuff, even in the face of fear. And this was what I was going to say, is that faith doesn't necessarily mean I believe without any doubts. Faith is, for me, is oftentimes just courage to walk through my fears, right? It is believing in something that I'm gonna change. I'm gonna do things differently. I'm gonna be able to have that life that I always wanted. I'm gonna be able to be that person that I've always wanted to be and never been able to get to, always settling for less because I didn't believe in myself, and I didn't believe anything was out there that cared enough about me that would help me. But see, those were the blocks. Those are the blocks that I had in my own denial. Those things happened. I was creating those things myself. It wasn't being done to me, which is what I had always thought about that. Fast forward, I'll give you an example, and I'm just going to wrap up with this. I'd love to say, and I hate to admit, that I am still growing in this part of the work. And it's not because I don't take this work serious. It's not because I did anything wrong. It's just that oftentimes I have never practiced living this way, sober lifestyle, so to speak, in certain circumstances. So I changed jobs a couple of years ago, and I'm in sales, and I'm in corporate, which I've never been in my entire life. I've always been self-employed, and it's a whole different world. And anyways, I had this situation recently that I was... I'm in sales, and I was now to work with another new salesperson. And look, the truth is this: I'm good at what I do, and I don't say that to be boastful. I have enough confidence in myself that I know it to be true for me. And another woman started working with, and immediately. Listen to me. I'm going to say, oh, it's so stupid. I can't believe I'm acting this way, but this is the truth. You know, she got a couple of sales before I did, long story short. And I got so like freaked out about it. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I got, you know what the truth was, is I got envious. I was jealous. I didn't want her to like, quote unquote, steal the show. Right. You know, and I'm thinking, oh my God, all this work that I'm doing, all this, I can't even believe that I'm feeling this way. Talk to my sponsor about it, you know. And interestingly enough, I was talking to one of my sponsees about it. And she was not about my situation. She was telling me about a similar situation she was going through. And I hear myself telling her, like, you know, isn't it interesting how we put ourselves in these situations to set us up for failure, set us up for the reaction. But what is the truth of it? You know, what is the absolute truth? That God loves all of us equally. And the truth is that I was never faced with this situation before. And that doesn't mean just because they are doing well that God doesn't have my back, you know, and that's just old behavior for me. And even with her too, in her situation, I'm like, you know, I have a choice today, right? I can live in that, and I can believe it, or I can pause and pray and proceed, right? And knowing that, quiet my center down and understand what the situation is, and not forget that I am a child of God, that I am loved, and that I, you know, we all deserve good things in our lives, and there's enough to go around. Right? There's enough to go around, and I don't have to be so threatened by it anymore. And honestly, and it's worked, you know, I don't feel that way anymore. And that's just a small example of how this work has changed me, continues to change me, and how much I believe in it. So hopefully that made sense. I'm sorry. My phone, I don't know if you can hear this. I've got a family issue going on. It's like, I shut it off. I put it on vibrate, but it's still dinging, so I'm a little distracted here. But thank you for asking me to share, because I'm so passionate about this stuff, because I know it's the only thing. And I've tried, like I said, and I'm sure many of us have tried so many different things. But for me, this particular process was the only thing that really worked to cut through that denial, to help me change my life and put me in a position where I never thought I would be before. You know, peace of mind. You know, it's about being able to align myself with that original life ideal that I had. That's what I'm growing towards. And when I falter, it's because, you know, these character defects are getting in the way. But I keep trying, you know, and that's okay. As long as I'm sincere about it and I keep trying, God will give me what I need. And I will end with this. There's an old saying that, you know, God answers all of our prayers in his time. Patience is what needed, but patience is what the essence of humility is. You know, it's understanding God's will and his, not understanding God's will, but being humble enough to be patient, to wait for it to happen and believing that God will give me, provide me what I need when I need it in his time and not my time. Because God knows I want my time to be his time, and it never works that way. So I think that's it. Hopefully I help somebody with something tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.